Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, 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 Michigan Maniacs. This is the Michigan Football Rant, and I am your host, Adam Brewer. This is the reaction episode Hawaii. Wow, before we get into it, guys, go to Instagram, Facebook, fan page, and then also YouTube. I'm going to get those. I am the worst at these YouTube things just because of space. I've told you that before. I'm still trying to get this shit done. Anyways, let's get into this. Wow, what a game. In the fact that it really was just so exciting. I haven't been this excited in a long time, solely because of J.J. McCarthy. I couldn't wait to see what was going on, how he was going to act. I mean, after the rain delay, I was scared. You know, being a Michigan fan, you panic. Oh, no, look at how all these other teams have been losing. Will Michigan come out and lay an egg? Will they not be ready for this? Will J.J. just be like another Shea Patterson? I mean, what's going on, right? You just didn't know. And then they come out and ease every one of your fears in two plays. Just two plays, and we're up 7-0. And it was phenomenal. I mean, we don't really have to go over the stats of this game. I mean, JJ looked great for the first half. Probably could have thrown for over 300 yards if they didn't put in Cade McNamara for that one series and a half or in the first half. If they wouldn't have done that, I'm sure he could have probably lit it up for another 75 yards or so. He just looked amazing, right? Like J.J. McCarthy, that is the perfect example of how when you are given an opportunity, you take it and you just crush it. You crush it and you leave absolutely no doubt that you need to be the man on the field. And what's crazy is that we had to watch the meltdown of a beloved Michigan quarterback. And I'm talking about Cade, if you guys didn't know. I don't know if I've been necessarily hard on Cade. I just have known that JJ is the way to go. And I don't subscribe to the whole theory of, well, you won us a Big Ten title, so therefore you get to be the quarterback for the whole season next year. I don't like that. I never have, and I think what Harbaugh's doing is the right thing. But I would have never in a million years when me and fellow maniac Stu were talking about or kidding around about if Cade plays bad enough that he could play himself into the third string role. And I think that's exactly what he did. I was shocked. I've never seen someone get mind effed the way he did. It was like it looked like he was doing his best Joe Milton impression. You know what I mean? Like, he was short-dicking things. He wasn't reading stuff. He couldn't move. I mean, nothing. And it also looked like the team just, I'm sure they like him as a person, because I'm sure Cade's a wonderful kid. A wonderful kid. I don't doubt that. But it looked like the team wasn't excited to have him in there. They dropped passes. They didn't block well. They didn't do anything. It seemed like they were distracted or annoyed that he was even in the game. And he was panicked more than anything. And, watching this kind of reminds me of a romantic comedy, right? I know it's weird, right? I just, hear me out. Cade McNamara, for the longest time, before you do that, have you guys ever watched Sleepless in Seattle, right? Meg Ryan is with this really nice but boring guy, has a decent job, seems to really care about her, and he really is just doing his best him. You know, he's not overly exciting. He's not someone you think you can spend the rest of your life with, but, you know, he's a good fella, right? And you really have no reason not to be with this good fella because he's doing all the things right. He's maybe a little bit boring, sure. Maybe he's not always completely invested in what you're doing, whatever, right? He's just ho-hum. And, you know, he's treating you well and all that kind of stuff. You have no real complaints. But then you meet Tom Hanks. He's everything that you need. Like, you click, you laugh, you see a future with him, and all these things, wonderful things are happening. It's not that you dislike the guy before him. It's just that he's not the guy for the future. And that's what it is. Cade McNamara is every boyfriend in a romantic comedy to the woman before she meets the eventual man of her dreams. That's what Cade McNamara is. He's just the guy. He's not awful. He's not a tyrant. He's not a bitch. You know what I mean? Like, he's just a good overall dude who just isn't J.J. McCarthy. Right? He just isn't him. And we're Meg Ryan and we're moving on. Thank you. Thank you for treating us well and loving us and doing all the things you did. We appreciate it. But now we're going to go fuck Tom Hanks. You know what I mean? Like, that's all this is, man. I don't know what else to say. You know, the one bright spot about what Cade did last night was with his 1.8 QBR rating. If you were to add that into JJ's 99.2 QBR rating, you get a perfect 100. I mean, that's pretty special. Oh, I guess you get a 101, but still not bad. Right? 1.8 finally has some meaning, some worth. So it not too shabby, okay? That's the one positive thing that I can even glean from Cade McNamara's play yesterday. It was god awful. It was just we were literally watching a young man melt down. And it was sad to see. But let's get back to JJ. This dude. Wow, the passing, the confidence, the way he could, I mean, now listen, it is Hawaii, I get it, and then next week, it's going to be Connecticut, I get it, I know, we're not really going to see anything until, I guess you could say Iowa, I mean, our defense will get its first test against Maryland, fine, and that's good, but I think our defensive backfield is up to the challenge, and I think our defensive tackle play, our defensive line play is just going to be amazing. But, I know he has an easy road to hoe, but I just think these games are going to be so perfect for him to get situated, to get his mind right, and to really just lean into this role of his, right? I'm very excited. I saw him. He was everything you wanted a Michigan quarterback to ever be, in my opinion. He took over the reins, and you're just like, he's been here the whole time. Like, this is his team. It was shocking. I was just so excited to see it. But watching the game, you kind of get different thoughts, because I wasn't really cared. I really didn't care about the overall stats of the game outside of, like, JJ or whatever. And I really didn't give a shit about Hawaii, but so you know your brain starts to wander, right? You start thinking, pondering things, and these are some of the things I've thought about that while I was watching the game. One of them, I think McGregor and Harrell may be our answer or the next Hutch and Ojabo. I mean, I love, take away the stunning or the very ridiculous physical similarities with Hutch and McGregor, right? But just the way he plays reminds me so much of Hutch. He also reminds me of a young Hutch right before he hurt his knee. He was always just like one beat behind. you know, instead of making a huge play, he was hitting the arm or grazing the jersey. He just was 1 second, like one step slow, you know, and that's where technique and all that kind of works into it. And then Harrell is just a beast. Holy moly. I mean, everything this kid does, I mean, he hits that line with aggression, and I mean, he has a couple of decent moves. I mean, he really reminds me of Ojabo with how fast he is and how aggressive he is. I think this year it's going to be a learning experience for both of them. So you're going to see moderate to semi success with them, you know, to where you're going to be like, oh yeah, they had a pretty good season. And next year, I think they're going to blow the effing doors off. I have all the faith in the world that those two are going to be monsters. I think this defense, I was thinking, is this the best team? Actually, the best team since the 97 team. I know we've only played Colorado State and we've only played Hawaii. I get it. I understand. But with the, I'm talking talent-wise, I'm talking aggressiveness on the defense, I really do believe, I think, this might be the best team, the second best team in Michigan history. It could be, if things work out. And I mean, I hope so, because my prediction was that they're going to win the national title. And the more I watch this team, the more I start to believe that that could be true. I gave Harbaugh 8 years. I gave all my reasons why I believe this. And most people outside of the Michigan fan base have crapped on me for it. So I can't wait. I have kept all the receipts. And if Michigan does it, you better believe I am going to bring them all out. I love this team so far. I mean, the aggressiveness finally on offense to match the aggressiveness of defense. This really is just a team that I have no doubt in my mind can go into Columbus and want to put the smack down on the Buckeyes. Don't know if it'll happen because the Buckeyes are no joke, but are they as great as everybody's making them seem like? I don't know. Notre Dame looks like a joke this season. So you beat a joke 21-10 at home in the last quarter of that game. Are you that good? Just are you that good? I'm very curious. That's going to be one of those things that I can't wait to see play out in the season. Another thing I was thinking about, too, like there's only two of them. It looks like Ronnie Bell is still rusty, still kind of breaking off that rust, right? A fumble, a couple drop passes throughout the last two games. But I think when he finally gets it together, he looks fast. He really looking good there. And he's looking elusive. I just think what we're watching right now with him is a man trying to get his footing again from having a full year off, right? And it's hard to go from injury to elite athlete. I look forward to it, but he still looks a bit rusty. Like I said, JJ is just different. Everything I look at is just JJ's different, man. He is one of those elite quarterbacks that are very few and far between, right? The Strouds, what's that kid's name from Alabama? That kid. You know, I know I'm going to hate myself. Bryce, whatever his name is. I'm sure Bryce Allen, or not Bryce Allen, what am I talking about? Anyways, the kid from Alabama. I mean, just there's so few true elite quarterbacks. And when you see them, it's just a sight to, I mean, you just got to love it. The way that kid throws the ball, I mean, it's a beautiful pass every time it comes out of his hands. Oh, just love it. Two, Mikey Samerstill. I love the word two for some reason. Mikey Samerstill is a beast. What a shame he's... Now, listen, I thought he was a great wide receiver. I really enjoyed him as a wide receiver. But he could have been All-American two times over as a defensive back. He could have been. Like, this kid is everywhere, and he's making his presence known. You would think he's never even played offense. You think he's played defense this whole time. I mean, wow. I completely impressed. Every time I see him, I just he's always making some type of play. Another one, Mekari Page. Wow, our defensive backfield really for me gets the MVP of the defense. I wish I could pick one player, but not one player really stood out amongst the defense yesterday. But our defensive backfield, I was incredibly impressed with. Only because I would have said the whole defense or even the defensive line, but Hawaii really made it a point to get that ball out quick. So our defensive line got pressure, got plenty of pressure, looked good, only walked away with one sack. But that defensive backfield, Mekari Page, R.J. Moten, Will Johnson, D.J. Turner, Jamon Green, they all looked fantastic this game. That's why I think when we play Maryland, we're just going to just mollywop those dudes. But it's going to be good to finally see our defensive backfield have to defend really quality wide receivers and a quarterback that can get them the ball, right? I really can't wait for that. It's going to be one of the main reasons why I watched that Maryland game. I'm very excited about that. Just the overall swarm of this defense. I just can't believe it. There's just never a one guy tackle. It seems like it's always a gang tackle. And if that's not the case, it is a wave of just defender hitting, just coming in. You got away from one, but there's two more. And if you get away from that, then there's two more. That's just so impressive. I loved it. I watched the first half again today. I may even watch it again tonight. It was so fun to watch that first half. I mean, if the first half, this is why I want to get to my other point, which is I can't wait till Big Ten play starts. I don't care that we're playing a bunch of marshmallows. It makes no difference to me. The only thing that bothers me is that I want to see this team, I want to see the starters play a whole game. I want to see what they can do in a whole game, right? Because let's face it, if all the starters stayed in, both offense and defense against Hawaii, it would have been like 84-0. And I don't think Hawaii would have gotten over 125 total yards in the game. I don't think it would have happened. I had less than 100 total yards by halftime. So I'm dying to see that. I want to see the progression. I want to see these. Because right now, if we were to extrapolate out what they did in the first half to the second half, J.J. McCarthy would have had close to over 300 yards passing. Roman Wilson would have had, 150 yards receiving. And Corn would have had well over 150 to 200 yards rushing. I mean, he had 88 at halftime. 88. You know, I mean, you don't think that was going to continue the second half? I don't think so. I mean, he was barely touched. He was literally 5 to 10 yards down the field before a Hawaii player even touched him. That's not going to change in the second half. But for me, JJ was the absolute offensive player of the game. I mean, just completely went out there and took the competition by the horns and made it his woman, you know, made it his bitch. He is our guy. I can't, anybody who's a real Cade believer, a real Cade backer, God bless you. God bless you. But you really have nothing to stand on. Let's see, what else was I writing down here? Oh, is it me or is it the Big Ten? Just a big three nowadays, in my opinion. I think there's a big three, maybe pushing it. You're looking at a big four. But outside of that, there is nothing. Nothing. I mean, okay, Minnesota's decent, but I don't know if Minnesota were to play Illinois. Are you sure that Minnesota's going to beat Illinois? I don't think so. Illinois looks fairly decent this season. I mean, Wisconsin losing, Iowa averaging 7 points per game. They finally got their first touchdown of the season in game two. Their quarterback threw for 92 yards. And a matter of fact, he's so old looking. I thought he was a coach during one of the post game press conferences. I thought he was a coach. I didn't realize that was a young man. He looks like he's 40. And he throws like he's 50. I mean, the dude is garbage. I mean, if Cade's looking to transfer, listen, good luck. See you in Iowa, dude. Iowa is a perfect place for Cade to be. I mean, boring offense. Anybody's better than Petrus. And I mean, Cade could be an absolute upgrade to that team. Not that I care to, you know, I wouldn't want to. Well, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing Cade go to Iowa, really take them to another Big Ten title so he can prove that it wasn't a fluke. I'd like to see that. I don't want Cade to fail. I want to see him succeed. But I would love to put like 50 on him just so we don't ever lose to Iowa. They're freaking boring. Wisconsin's boring. They finally fired Scott Frost, thank God. I mean, and I grew up hating Nebraska, hating them, because I grew up in Colorado. And I even feel bad for Scott Frost. That fan base has suffered enough. Holy crap. Thank God they got rid of that dude. I think by the time we face them, they're going to be in disarray. I can't even imagine a coach stepping in and riding the ship right away. This should be an easy win for us. That's all I care about. Iowa sucks. Wisconsin sucks. Nebraska sucks. I mean, the East has all the teams. What are we doing anymore? Why do we even have divisions in the Big Ten when the whole East, or no, the whole West division stinks, and stinks out loud. Out loud they stink. It's awful. Complete and utter awful football being played in the West division right now. I mean, and in the East, it's a three-horse race, in my opinion. Michigan, Ohio, and Little Brother, right? And I only give it to Little Brother because they have a really good knack of beating us, even though they are, in my opinion, inferior to us in many, 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 many ways. Inferior. But yet they find a way every year to beat our butt for some reason. We always fall asleep at the wheel when we have to play Michigan State. But they even look good against Akron. Ohio looked all right, but not great against Notre Dame. So I don't think they're great, but they're better than any of the other teams in the West. And then even Penn State found some running back that can run for 179 yards against some Barber College that they paid to show up, which is fine. We did the same thing. So I'm not against it, but still, I'll give Penn State as the fourth team in the Big Ten, fourth best team, but I'm not impressed by them. They had to take down to the last drive to beat Purdue. I like Purdue as an offense, but their defense is awful. You know, so I'm not really, you know, what does that say? So right now, it's really just a two-team race with Michigan State looking on the outside, but I'll give them the three. But that's it. So the Big Ten is kind of basically reverted back to what it used to be, which was the Big Two and the lousy eight, I guess you could call them. I don't know. But it's really, I don't know. But there are some teams in there, I guess, if we don't pay them mind and if we don't get up for them every week, could bite us in the butt. Rutgers, probably going to be one of those. Rutgers could probably bite us right in the butt. I mean, I don't know what to say about them every year. Either 1 year I think they're okay. Second year I think they suck. And then they flip-flop it, and then I look like a jackass. So I'm tired of trying to figure out Rutgers. Rutgers is just what it is. But I mean, just this game was so amazing. Sorry, I'm flipping all over late, but I was thinking about some of those passes that JJ threw were just beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And I can't wait to see what he does against UConn. I definitely can't wait to see what he's going to do against Maryland. I want to see what he can do against that Iowa defense at Kinnick at night, more than likely. the bigger the challenge. I want to see what this kid can do. I know I definitely can't wait for that Michigan State game, because you know he's been beating himself up all year long leading up to this game with Michigan State later on in the season. He is going to have replayed what he did wrong. He's going to be paying attention to Michigan State with a fine-tooth comb, trying to figure out how to gut that team. And I can't wait to see what he does there. I can't wait to see what he does against Ohio State. I am super, super excited to see what this young kid with such amazing talent can do. And if he lights it up the way I think he will, it only helps out with Jaden Davis and the recruitment there. Dante Moore, maybe. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Or even Lloyd Carr's grandson. You want to go play for Notre Dame, that shit show? Or you want to come to a real college, right, that can light it up? I mean, recruiting should boost from this. Everything's going to look good because now our offense is humming. It's just like smooth. Jazz, beautiful, everybody just doing their best, and just every hole is huge, every route is run perfectly, the ball is thrown where only the wide receiver can get it. We're starting to look like those teams that are constantly in the top three every season. You know, the Ohio States of the world, the Alabamas, the Georgias, things like that, where that offense is starting to look like that, to where we can go 86 yards in two plays. Or three plays, or four plays, whatever. It just like, holy crap, you got to worry about every weapon we have now. And it's finally starting to take hold. And it's all because Jim Harbaugh stopped being college football Jim Harbaugh and started being pro football Jim Harbaugh, and is benching the right guy for the one, the Tom Hanks, you know? So, guys, this is it. That's all for this show. I mean, it was a fantastic game. Go back and do yourself a favor and watch the first half. It is phenomenal outside of one drive where Cade McNamara came in and stunk out the joint for about six plays. Just an absolute great game. It makes me so excited for this season. I cannot wait. I just can't. So, on that, when we get out of here. But guys, thanks again for all the support. We're gonna start having some fake business opportunities come up again with some fake reads that I love to do. So look out for those. I'm sure you guys can't wait. Then just, you know, if some things come around, I'm going to try and get to Ask Me Anything. But my personal life has been crazy hectic of late. And so two episodes a week is about what I can do. I want to do the Ask Me Anything because I do love the questions, and I do have, you guys always come up with some real interesting stuff. But right now, all I can really muster are just two episodes a week because my personal life is crazy busy. So I just appreciate you guys following me, supporting me, doing all the things you do. You guys have been fantastic. And listen, guys, it is great. It is great to be a Michigan Wolverine. And always and forever, go blue.